Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everyone this morning. A blessing to be able, for me, to be able to present the Word of God to you. So you have your Bible. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. But do things a little bit different this morning. As we look at the subject that has been coming up in our Bible study and our Sunday morning class, I think it's good for us to have a good review of it. And I was looking over what we've been listening from Brother Mike on in our Bible classes and what things he's been saying there. And I thought, I need to touch on this. I need to preach on this. And so I put the sermon together and I'm thinking, I'm not going to do as good as he did. But it's going to be a good review, okay? It's Scripture, it's Bible, so we're going to take from this passage and gain a lot from it. And what is being meant here by that command and instruction to hold to the pattern, to follow the model, to follow the form of which God has given to us. So that will be our thoughts and our focus this morning. Before we do that, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon us and upon our study of your holy word. Father, may we understand it. May we take it to heart. Father, may your word continue to change us every day. May we carry the truth with us. Father, fill us with joy and hope and peace. And Father, may that come out of us in every part of our life, that we may share the truth of the gospel that you've given to us through Jesus Christ with those around us. And Father, again, we ask for your grace now in our study. And we ask that you forgive us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So look at the subject of hold to the pattern. And so this is a sermon you may have heard something similar to before, especially among churches of Christ. This is very much tied to our identity and who we are and who we strive to be. And so we'll look at this morning. And what we're going to see this morning is that there's a blessing for Christians, for churches, for those who set their focus on this, that we're going to strive and we're going to hold to the pattern in the Bible. That we're going to keep the model there and the forms that we see there. For every faithful church we see in the Bible or every church that is following God in the places of instruction and faithfulness, that we're going to imitate them. That we're going to imitate the apostles. And we're going to imitate them because they give us instruction. The apostles imitate us as we imitate Christ. I want to imitate. And so getting ahead of myself, imitate means to follow the form, to follow the pattern. And as you read through the New Testament, you're going to see that. Imitate, imitate, imitate. Follow the pattern. Follow the forms that we have here. And so we want to strive to do that. Now, we won't do that in perfection, but we're going to endeavor to do that. And that's what makes Churches of Christ unique. All right, and there might be other churches out there I'm missing that are striving to do this, and I would encourage all to do this. I think this is what all Christians should be doing, and all bodies of believers and congregations, is to follow that pattern. This morning, I'm going to show you two passages here. Well, one passage. Let me put that in a different way. Two different scriptures from two different translations, okay? And we're going to look at them. And then I'm going to give my exposition this morning. It's going to be more of the context around this passage here. And then we're going to build on it, okay? So a little bit different. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. So if you're in the New King James, you read this. It says, hold fast to the pattern, all right? If you're able to read Greek, you could look at it, and the very first word there, actually in the text, is the word for pattern. And so it doesn't follow the same word order in Greek. It's very phrased-based as it moves along, grouping things together. And the emphasis here from Paul is he's telling Timothy, as a preacher and evangelist, this is his farewell epistle before he dies. He can see his death coming down the road. He's anticipating it, and he's giving instruction. He says, I want you to hold fast to the pattern. And he begins with the word pattern. What pattern? A pattern of sound words. Not that the sound words are the pattern, but that the sound words present, and that the pattern is presented from the apostle from the Apostle Paul, from those wholesome words that have been given to us. He says, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. So I want you to conform yourself to the model that has been given to you as Christians. Okay, that makes sense. We understand that. That it's going to be from these words. That's how the gospel is communicated. It comes through words, all right? And then you've heard them from me, and the basis of them is a basis of faith and a way in which we live every day, and then our actions of love and all of that built on Christ. Now look at the next part, verse 14. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. And so that's an amazing thing right there as well. So he's saying what has been deposited and given to you has come from the Holy Spirit. And that you are to hold to this deposit of truth, okay? So a lot of this might be seeming, this, you know, what does this mean? It seems kind of both vague, ambiguous, and overly simple at the same time. But when we add some context to it, it's going to make more sense. All right, English Standard says it this way. And I think the translation here, I think I prefer the ESV a little bit more on this one. It says, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. All right, what's he saying? He's saying, you've been given a form and a pattern, a way of living, the way to exercise the Christian faith. And it's exemplified ultimately in Christ. And you want to follow this pattern, this example. All right? And again, he's making the same points, but the word guard there stands out more in the Greek text than it did in New King James. But in the ESV, you guard it. You act as a soldier. And he's saying that to Timothy, that the gospel that has been entrusted to you, you guard it. And realize that you're being strengthened by God's Holy Spirit in this. And later on he's going to say, and he emphasizes the point Paul does, that God's Scripture, the Word of God, as our reading this morning, is the breath of God that's been given to you. It's given to you by the Holy Spirit, and I want you to guard it by the Holy Spirit. So what do we do with this passage, and why is it so significant? And it's not just this one, there are other ones like it. But we look at the setting of 2 Timothy. And the overall message here from Paul's final letter. And so he begins the letter talking to Timothy, and he says, I want you to not be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. And of course, we've heard that from Paul before. If you read the book of Romans, you hear him saying that. He says that this doctrine, this teaching, that's what doctrine is, it's been entrusted to you, and he says, I want you to take what you've heard and entrust it to other faithful people who will then teach other people. That's your mission. I want you to pass on the gospel. Of course, that's the mission that Christ gave his apostles, and it's meant to be perpetual throughout the ages, that we, individually as Christians, are to take the gospel and to share it with those around us. And so maybe friends, family, anybody who will listen to us, we want to pass it on to them. As we go on in chapter 2, you see this, coming up to this passage we've read. He wants them to remember Christ and that he was resurrected. And that was a part of our theme in our Bible class this morning. The focus on the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection to come, the life to come. And then he says, I want you to charge Christians. Furthermore, while you're doing this, while you're holding to it, while you're guarding this doctrine, that you charge Christians not to argue. Don't argue over words. That ruins hearers. So chapter 2, verse 14 through 15, I have a whole other sermon on the subject in regards to not arguing. And he says, what I want you to do is rightly handle the Word of God. Now, we're starting to put the context around this instruction to hold to the pattern, to follow the model. What model? What's he saying here? He's saying, don't go to the right or the left. Do the way and keep God's Word the way it's been presented to you. He wants, and he instructs here, he says, to continue in the doctrine of salvation. He says, the salvation that you've heard in the Word of God, it has been breathed out before God, and the Scriptures give you everything that you need to know for every good work. Hold to it. And then at the very beginning of chapter 3, he says, there's going to be lots of people. They're going to go astray. They want to have their ears tickled. They want to hear different types of teaching. They're going to be lovers of self and lovers of pleasure. They're going to be distracted from things in the world. And he says, Paul says here to Timothy, you keep to God's word. What's going to keep you firm and ready to guard that deposit that you're passing on to other people is the Scriptures are there as well to affirm and give you that model and that pattern. And then he says in chapter 4, and kind of a conclusion to his message there, he goes on a little bit further. But Paul says to Timothy, he says, I want you to continue to do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of a preacher. That's your job. And what do you do? This is what you do. You preach, you reprove, you rebuke, you exhort, which means to encourage. Doing the work of an evangelist. Don't stop doing that. This is what you do with the Word of God. And then again, he's saying, not only is this instruction to preachers and evangelists, it's usually called a pastoral epistle, and that is for ministers, Paul speaking to Timothy, but everything he tells Timothy to do, you pass it on and give it to other mature Christians who are going to pass it on to others so they hear the truth and they come to faith and believe in Christ, and so they hold to this pattern. And so we want to keep firmly the standard that comes from wholesome words, which is the testimony of Christ, the gospel of Christ. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Now, I want you to imagine this, that you have somebody in authority, maybe your boss or somebody, says, I want you to do this according to the pattern. Or do this according to the pattern of my words. Or maybe he says, do it according to the pattern of which I've given to you. You would take that to mean what? Follow my example. Do it the way that I showed you to do it. Keep it that way. And you know, that makes sense. We start looking at things that different churches do and individuals do that are contrary to what the Bible says, or they do things according to church tradition that's been passed down, rather than holding to the pattern, rather than following the models in the Scripture. And I can see where that comes from. Some individuals that go through the Bible and say, I'm going to keep the commandments, but how I keep the commandment, I'm going to do it my way. And that happens a lot. Okay, so we take the subject of baptism. In the Bible, you see baptism that people who believe and repent, those are the ones who will be baptized. You don't have children or infants being baptized. All right, when we look at baptism, it's an immersion in water. And so those are according to those examples. You're not going to find a command that says, do this, it must be in 4 feet of water, and the individual has to say exactly these words at this time. You're not going to find that, but what we do have throughout the Bible is, you need to be baptized. If you're going to be a disciple of Christ, be baptized. Be baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be baptized in the name of Christ for the forgiveness of sins, to receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 and verse 38. So we look at these scriptures, and we have a commandment, and then after that, throughout the rest of the book of Acts, we have example after example. So you got the Ethiopian eunuch going down in the water. What do we do with that pattern, with that model, with that form? When we look at all these faithful believers and Christians, people coming to faith, and what they did, what the apostles did, every example we have in the Bible, that's that pattern. That's the model that we want to keep. And so when it comes to, am I going to keep church tradition, or am I going to keep the pattern in the Scripture? I have a choice there, and I actually have commands and instructions to hold to the way that it's done in the Bible. So one of the most basic patterns we see in the Bible is brought out here, using a similar word, a root word here for the word pattern. It's in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, and the word that stands out here in this passage is the word standard. So back in 2 Corinthians, the verse we read, the Greek word is hupa. Tupas. And hupa tupas means according to the, it just means pattern, okay? It means a type or example. And here you have the word for standard is the Greek word tupas, which means, again, that example and pattern. You know, it's just a different form of it. Listen to what Paul says. He says, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to what? To the standard of teaching. To the pattern of doctrine would be another way you can state it, to which you are committed. Now, if you read Romans 6, what pattern, what form of doctrine were they obeying? It's the death and the burial and resurrection of Christ. At the very foundation of everything we believe is that gospel message in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, that the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, this is our hope. That if we die and we're buried, that one day we'll resurrect. It's the basis by which that I become a Christian and I believe in the death, the burial, resurrection of Christ. I'm going to die to myself, my old self, be buried in the waters of baptism and rise to the newness of life. It's that pattern that we see throughout the Bible. This morning we get together on the first day of the week. Why the first day of the week? It's the day in which Christ is resurrected from the dead. It's a part of the gospel. Why do we partake of the communion and remembrance and thinking of Jesus' death? It's a part of the pattern. It's a part of the fundamental gospel that I think about the death of Christ, and it's been given to me. It's been given to us in the church to follow this pattern and this model. So that standard of teaching says it's been committed to you, it's been given to you, and you've been obedient to it. By faith, you obey it. And he says here, in the, following the death, burial, and resurrection through baptism, you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. So that's another study, but what I'm going to leave you with Romans 6 right now, but just to emphasize that again, there is a standard. So here again, I don't know, I've gotten ahead of myself here, but here again is the standard, the model that Christians are obedient here in the text. We see it in 1 Corinthians 15. You see it throughout Romans chapter 6, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's that pattern. And it's a pattern we don't give up on either. It's a pattern of which every part of my life, like the sermon last week, we went through Ephesians chapter 4 and talked about how if we're struggling with sin and so forth, there's a way of which we replace sin with something else that is light. And we walk in that light and it exposes the darkness of sin so that we don't want to go back to it. That's the form. That's a part of that pattern here that, well, I'm dying to the old self and I'm constantly putting on the new self. And many times it's a struggle. It's hard. We're constantly going back to the scriptures, reading it again, recommitting ourselves to God. God, I want to be conformed to your way. I want to imitate your son. I want to follow his example. All that is based on following a pattern. This brings me again to the word imitate. You see this word imitate repeatedly throughout the New Testament. The Apostle Paul says it. I've been frustrated at dictionaries lately because instead of giving you the common definition of a word, what society says, dictionaries lately have been wanting to tell you the new activist, the new meaning we want you to think words to mean. So woman doesn't mean woman anymore. It means anybody who wants to claim to be a woman or whatever you might hear there. So I just went all the way back to Webster's 1828, okay? So you use this dictionary when you're trying to understand the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And what he says here, the word imitate, it's still the same meaning, okay? It's to follow in manners, it's to follow examples and to follow a pattern, to copy in form, okay? And so we're following the form. And that's a right translation from the Greek. Look here in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 2. So another thing, we're keeping the pattern that makes the focus of the churches of Christ right, and where I would encourage all churches to do, is to focus on doing this. He says, be imitators of me. Well, Paul, why should I be an imitator of you? As I am of Christ. And he says, you've got a certain pattern, you know. That doesn't mean that following the imitation of Christ doesn't mean I have to be a carpenter. You know, what it means is I have to follow his example of life, of taking up the cross and living a holy life, walking the way that he walks. He says, be an imitator of me. And then he goes on here and he says, it involves a little bit more than that. He says, now I commend you because you remember me in everything. And he says, in this imitation and keeping the pattern, you do what? You maintain the traditions. And I like how the New King James gets a little bit more accurate here. He says, just as, or ESV says, even as, I have delivered them to you. The word tradition and the word delivered here are actually a similar word. One's the noun form, one's the verb form. He says, I want you to do this. I want you to observe, maintain the traditions. What traditions? These things that have been passed down to you, that have been given to you, you keep them the way that I've given them to you. So what does that mean? Well, he goes on here and we start to see what he means by keeping that form and pattern. Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, talking about the Lord's Supper, which we engaged in this morning. He says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Same Greek word there for verb form of tradition, okay? He says, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he's betrayed took bread. What's he saying? You keep the tradition. What tradition? The one that Jesus gave us, and he gave it to me, and I give it to you, and that's to eat and partake of the communion. That's a pattern and a model which we follow. Now, I've been to some congregations where sometimes communion has changed, right? Have you ever been to a church where they've done things differently? And sometimes it's like the order might be flipped. I've been in a congregation, they weren't intentionally doing that, but they gave out the cup first and then the bread. And so someone might say, well, is that a sin? Am I going to go to hell over that? That's not for any of us to answer, but I do know what the model is and the form. It's right here in the text. You take the bread, you bless it, and give it out. You take the cup, you bless it, and disperse it. And you follow the example of Jesus that you got throughout the Gospels. All right? And so when it comes to communion, none of us is going to say, you know what? I can do it better than Jesus. None of us is going to do that. Nobody's going to say, I have a better pattern. You know, I think we'd have a better experience and better interaction with the communion if we started changing some things. You know, if we change the bread to this, or one church has changed the fruit of the vine into water, you know, can I do that? You know, we see in the scriptures it's the fruit of the vine. I'm going to use, and the vine meaning grapevine, I'm going to use grape juice. If I have it, I'm going to use it. That's the biblical pattern and example. These are basic things that I think as Christians and what makes us who we are in the churches of Christ is we want to keep that pattern. And when it comes to communion, we start to ask ourselves other questions, and we may say, you know, when do we partake of it? In the churches of Christ, we partake of it every Sunday. Why do we do that? There's no command that says if you don't do it every first day of the week, you're going to hell. It doesn't say that in the Bible. You know what it does say? We have a pattern. And in 1 Corinthians 11, it says when they gather together for the breaking of the bread. That's the main word that's used for the Lord's Supper. So what do? When we assemble together, we do that. We look at passages like Acts 20 and verse 7, where we see that Paul, with the apostles and those who are with him, met with the disciples, and it said they assembled on the first day of the week to do what? To break bread. 1 Corinthians 10 describes the Lord's Supper again as the breaking of bread. And it's the breaking of bread. It has an article in front of it. So to be very specific about it, I can choose to go with church tradition, and we can partake of communion once a month, or every 3 months, or once a year. Or I can follow the pattern in the Bible. I can follow the model that's right there. And my preference every time is, if I have a better model and example in the Bible, I'm going with it. I'm going to keep the pattern. I'm going to uphold and imitate as Paul has told us to do. Do it the way that it's done here. You know, and if it's a matter of opinion, and there are other things that are definitely matters of opinion. For instance, Romans chapter 14 gives an example, and it says, you know, some people believe that you should only eat vegetables, you know, the vegetarians, and then others believe you should eat meat. All right, that's my camp. I'm a meat eater. All right, so but you don't judge and condemn anybody. You know, if they want to eat vegetables, then there's freedom there. But if the Bible gave me a pattern and an example for eating that is supposed to be applied to Christians, I'm going to do my best to keep that. And if the instruction was, and we saw throughout, and this the case here, it doesn't matter if I'm on a low-carb diet or I'm on keto, I'm not going to stop eating the bread and communion. You know, whatever weird diet you can come up with. All right? And that's probably not the weirdest diet, but it doesn't... It doesn't affect me. I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to follow the instructions on that matter. And so those are matters of opinion. But when I have a better way set there in Scripture, I'm going to do the way it is in Scripture. All right? So every command that we follow, it has patterns and examples in the Bible that define that command. When it comes to baptism, when it comes to communion, when it comes to how you live the Christian life and take up your cross daily, that's a pattern. Follow it. Keep it. Follow those examples. So as the churches of Christ, we're not perfect in this, but we're striving to be New Testament churches. We're striving to be churches that just are faithful to following the New Testament, following the examples of the apostles, of the churches in the Bible that are faithful, and ultimately following Christ and His example. So there's things that make us unique. All right, we want to follow the example in the Bible, then baptism is always immersion. It's always for the forgiveness of sins. It's always to unite us with Christ, Romans chapter 6, 3 through 5, with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We believe in that, and it's the basis of our confession of faith. When it comes to leadership, our elders are our pastors. You know, we don't just take and hire an evangelist and say, okay, we're going to put the title of shepherd or pastor on you. In the Bible, the pastors we see are the apostles and the elders. And ultimately, Jesus Christ is the chief pastor. So those are distinctions. And then also when it comes to our assembly and our worship, we follow the pattern. with symbol on the first day of the week. We want to keep the communion the way it is in the scriptures. We believe in congregational singing. And so a lot of people come in, first thing they recognize when they're new to the Church of Christ is, where's the piano? Do you need something, some money so we can buy you one? You know, that's, we've been offered that a number of times. And it's just humorous. And there's not a judgment behind this, but there's a biblical pattern, and that is congregational singing. Like Romans 15 and verse 6, it says they sang with one voice. And what we see in the early church in the Bible is they sang. And there wasn't any special emphasis on instruments or anything like that. In fact, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 7 calls them soulless or lifeless. But just in passing. But when we look at this, I look at the pattern of congregational singing, and I thank God right now because across this country right now, you may not realize this, but there's been a revival of Christians, of believers, going back to the Bible and saying, you know what I want? I want biblical expository preaching. And that's gone across the country in a big way. You know what's come along with that? Congregational singing. Those churches are also saying, we're going to go back and just sing. Emphasize singing, not put it on somebody worshiping in my place or for me, or using, you know, any kind of instrument or anything like that. And a lot of these churches are in a place of transition where they're going, all right, we had the organ taken out, now what? Because they'd found it to be obsolete. And so they go back to the Bible and say, look, congregational singing, textual preaching, that's what we need. And we want to do things according to the pattern. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The passage we had read this morning is really where our focus and our mind is. And that is we come to the Bible and we say, this is the scriptures. It's breathed out by God. What do I use it for? Well, every scripture, not only is it breathed out by God and it's come by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it gives me benefit and profit, and it gives me something. It gives me teaching. It gives me reproof. It gives me correction. It trains. And the word there means even the training of children in righteousness, that the man of God or the person of God, man or woman there, anthropos is the Greek word, may be complete, equipped for every good work. Every good work, every good thing that I can do, I have an example and a pattern for it right here in the Bible. It's amazing and it's beautiful, and I don't need to go to any other source. God, by His Holy Spirit, has revealed it through the inspired words of Christ and His apostles and prophets in the Scriptures. I rely upon it. I go to it. And so it matters how you esteem the Bible. There are a lot of people today that don't esteem the Bible highly. A lot of churches that don't, and you can see it because they don't keep to the form and the pattern. The examples in the Bible to them do not hold that great of weight to them. So we look at these examples of the early Christians. We can ask the question, have they set a model for us? Are we obeying it? And I hope that as you read through the Bible, you look for that and say, why don't we do that? Shouldn't we be doing that? If you see something like that, I want to know. I want to keep the pattern, not because I'm a legalist, because I want to be faithful to God, because I love God, and those who love God keep His commandments. That's what Christ preached. John 14, 23 and 24. We want to keep the pattern. So we'll come back to our verse in conclusion this morning. As Paul says to Timothy, follow the pattern of sound words. Follow the pattern that's come from sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. I want to guard it. I don't want to compromise the truth. Christ did it right the first time. The apostles did it right the first time. Let's keep the traditions just as they've been delivered to us. I encourage you this morning, if you believe in the gospel, you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, that He was buried, and He didn't stay in that grave, but on the third day He rose again. You need to imitate what He did. You believe it, you will. You'll repent of your sins, you'll be baptized, you'll begin a new life. That's what we read, that's what we see in Scripture. And it's at that moment that the Bible says you'll be relieved from all your sins. You'll be forgiven, Acts 2, verse 38, Colossians 2, and verse 13. You want that freedom, you want the hope of resurrection and eternal life that's only in Jesus Christ. You can obey it this morning. You need prayers, you need encouragement. We want to pray with you, we want to encourage you. You can come right now. Let's sing. Let's stand and sing together.